It's my joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect word once more to the Old Testament as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the coming, the advent, the arrival of our Savior from the Old Testament, Christmas BC. And today I want to invite you to open to Isaiah chapter 42. We're going to be in the first 12 verses. And when you find Isaiah 42, I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's perfect word as we read about the servant, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42, starting in verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants, let the desert and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. Let's go to him together right now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have worked salvation. We thank you for Christ, Christ who is perfect, Christ who was given for us. We thank you for who he is and what he's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. Advent. It means arrival. It means he's come. It's an arrival that's waited. I love how we celebrate with kids. You know, I could have asked these kids up here any other month of the year if I asked them on the 21st, what day of the month is it? Or how many days until the 25th? You know, somebody might do the math and answer one of the older kids. Younger kids, they don't even know what day of the month it is. You know, they haven't needed to start writing the dates on things. But if I ask the kids in the room today, oh, a whole bunch more of them would know. It's the 21st. And if I ask how many days till the 25th, there's a countdown going with some of these kids. They are waiting for the arrival of a day. And how appropriate is it that kids are anticipating Christmas? All that we do to help kids to anticipate Christmas is all because all of humanity was waiting, if they knew the promises of God, waiting for an arrival. Now, any arrival, you can be in a gathering, and there can be a noticed arrival that everybody pays attention to, and it could be for a number of different reasons. Some arrivals are especially important because of the role of the person who has arrived. The mayor just walked in the room. Just for example, some of you turning around. No, like a mayor just, there would be notice. Oh, look, the mayor's here. Oh, the governor. Oh, the president has walked in. There's a role, a position that somebody has. And that causes there to be notice when they arrive. Or it could be that someone's coming, and what gives special notice to this arrival is what they are to do, what they have come to do. Oh, here's the person who is speaking today. Oh, here's the person who's cutting the ribbon at the ceremony. Oh, here's the person that this whole gathering is about. That would give notice to that arrival. Or perhaps it's what they give or what they bring. Everybody recognizes, oh, here's the person, and with them, this is coming. All of those could be reasons to give note of someone's arrival. But then there's also who they are. Let's take our holiday gatherings for a moment here. Let's say that gathering is not happening at grandma's house, but lots of people are coming, and there's a certain ring of the doorbell, probably pre-announced by kids looking out the window, and here she is, grandma. And kids know that with grandma comes the cookies, right? But when they say, grandma's here, grandma's here, that is not just a euphemism for the cookies are here, the cookies are here. Though everybody will enjoy them, everybody will taste them and experience and actually feel the love of grandma as they eat the cookies. And grandfathers, I'm not trying to, you know, stereotype if you're the cookie maker in your family, but most of us can identify grandma is the cookie maker. Okay, we will feel the love as we eat those. But the joy when she arrives is not just over what she brings. It's who she is. And it's not just even her role. Oh, wait, this is the person who's the mother of my father, or this is the person who's the mother of my mother. No, it's who she is, her character, the way she loves, the way she is towards us. That's another reason. Well, when we talk about Christ's advent, it is about, what's special about the coming of Christ is about his role. He is the Lord. He is the Lord among us. He is God with us. He is Messiah, Son of God, Son of David. He is the seed of the woman. It is about his role, but it's also about what he will do. This is the one who will walk on water. He will calm the storms. He will cast out demons. He will heal the lame. He will cleanse lepers. He's also the one who will live perfectly. He will go to the cross as a perfect sacrifice for us, and he will rise victoriously, conquering death forever. It is also about what he will do. And the arrival is special because of what he brings, of what he gives. In Christ, we can have forgiveness of sins. Through Christ, we get a relationship with the Father by which we can call Father. Christ gives eternal life. It is about his role. It is about what he will do. It is about what he gives and what he brings. But it is also, and what I want you to think about today at the beginning of our sermon especially, it is about who he is. Even without all that other, even without his role, which you can't say without his role, but just if we, for the moment, if we put his role aside, and if we put aside in our minds all that he will do for us, and we put aside all that he gives us, even in his character itself, in who he is to be celebrated. Our text today is in three clear sections, and the first one, you're hearing from the voice of God, and you're hearing God talk about Jesus. And here's what it is. Behold. Behold Him. Not just what He does, not just what He gives. Behold who Jesus is. And let's come. Come and let us behold Him this morning. You can think of this as if the voice of heaven is speaking out over the manger, saying, look, look, behold, look, pay attention to who this one is. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Here the voice of God is saying, here, look at my servant. This is the voice of God, but this is the third behold. We just started at 42. If we start towards the end of 41, you're going to hear, behold, behold. You'll hear, behold the idols, how vain they are. Behold the idol worship, how foolish it is. And now behold my son. So Jesus comes into it from the very beginning of this chapter in contrast. Well, I said, behold my son, behold my servant. Here you have, some of us are more used to the language around Christmas time. Jesus, my son. And what made me accidentally say my son right just now is that baptism voice. When Jesus is baptized, the voice from the heavens saying, this is my beloved son. He's that. He is that. And he's also the beloved servant, the servant who does the will of God. As Jesus said through the Psalms about his birth, I have come to do your will, as it's quoted for us in Hebrews. Here is the precious, perfect servant of God. Behold, my servant. Do you hear that? My, from the voice of God. My servant. Whom I uphold means who I hold fast. You could picture like we have things that we cling to with precious affection. This is what's going on. Behold my servant whom I uphold, whom I hold to fast, my chosen. He delights in him. His chosen, his precious one, his chosen one in whom my soul delights. Now don't misunderstand this. It's not that Jesus was just a baby like any other baby, and then at some point God chose him and said, oh, that's the one who's going to be the Messiah. No, not at all. Before Mary even had a pregnancy, an angel announced, you shall bear a son. You're going to be pregnant. This will be a miracle of the Holy Spirit upon you. You shall name him Jesus. An angel said to Joseph ahead of time, you shall name him Jesus. Why? For the Lord is salvation is what Jesus means. Because he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was chosen by God before even the birth. He is the Son of God coming into flesh. He was with the Lord. He was God. Eternity past is what John teaches us. But that doesn't undo the words of saying he is God's chosen in whom his soul delights. Behold, the voice of God says, consider him. You can think of this like a dad with a newborn, precious and proud. Dad's in the room, you can remember. You're proud of that little one. You want to show him off. As a pastor, I have the joy of you know, usually we choose Mother's Day as a day to do this. We have a moment. We don't call it a baby dedication. That sounds very Old Testament temple kind of language. We call it a parent congregational prayer covenant because prayer is biblical. A congregation is important. Parenting is a God-given role. And we want to take a moment. There's nothing, it's totally in line with Scripture to recognize the precious gift of life of each one of these little ones and to take a moment to commit as a church family and as parents to teach this little one the gospel. And we want to praise God for this life. And I get the joy of like holding up that little baby and hearing the, like around the room. I mean, just our hearts go out. We're just so delighted because God has given this little one life. And I enjoy it as a pastor, but as a dad, there's a whole nother layer. Check out this child. You can think about this, the voice of God the Father saying, check him out. Behold. That's a word from God. Behold. Behold my servant. Look at him. Pay attention to him. Whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. All throughout the Old Testament, you've got people who have God's spirit for a purpose, and he has God's spirit for a purpose. What is the purpose? It says right here, he will bring forth justice. But no one can bring forth justice without being just themselves. There has never been a just ruler who didn't have some justice to them, their character. Christ can bring forth justice to the nations because he is just. The beginning of this passage, we already have behold, which is putting Jesus in contrast to idols and idol worship. But here you also have Jesus in contrast to the leaders of our day, the leaders of our age, because within Christ there is none of the fallenness that we find pervasive in our world. Hear all of the times in this that you're going to hear the word not. Verse 2, he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Verse 4, he will not grow faint or be discouraged. Jesus is in contrast to the leaders that we often see. Now, don't misunderstand verse 2, he will not cry aloud. He has the character of God the Father. Completely, there's the same. There's no difference between the character of God the Son and character of God the Father. You don't have a shade of difference between who Jesus is in his character and who the Father is in his character. And it's said right here in the same passage, if I just read one more verse, which actually it says on the slide, Isaiah 42, 1 to 13. But in verse 13, you hear this, the Lord goes out like a mighty man. Like a man of war, he stirs up his zeal. He cries out. He shouts aloud. He shows himself mighty against his foes. Verse 2, he will not cry aloud. Verse 13, he cries out. Verse 2, he will not lift up his voice. He shouts aloud. Verse 13, or make it heard in the street. Verse 13, he shows himself mighty against his foes. Recognize that who Jesus is also a man of war. You will find him in Revelation victoriously leading in battle against the enemies. We've been saying for the last 2 weeks ago, we had a promise of a seed of woman who will crush the head of the serpent. We saw last week in Isaiah chapter 7, in a time in which there was wicked kings coming to try to take the city of David, Jerusalem, and take the son of David from the throne. It's a threat against the promise, and God gives a sign that the child will be born of a virgin. He is victorious, and he's victorious by power. He's strong, but Jesus is in no way a bully. Not a hint of bulliness in Christ. And with His own, He is gentle. He does not cry aloud. He doesn't shout out in ways that startle and scare. He doesn't lift up His voice. He doesn't dominate by the power of His voice. Oh, listen to me. I'm going to, you know, that's not the character of Christ. He does not make it heard in the street, gathering attention to Himself. Instead, He's the one who serves. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And yes, the false teachers of His day heard rebuke. Yes, He spoke out against them. He overturned tables and drove people who were profaning the temple of God out. But He was gentle. And He could also say very truthfully, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you shall find rest for your souls, for I am gentle and lowly of heart." That's the character of Christ. He's gentle. You can see this in verse 3 as we continue. A bruised reed He will not break, a faintly burning wick He will not quench. What is it talking about? A bruised reed? A faintly burning wick? This is incredibly good news for anybody in here who feels like, I don't know, I'm somewhat a damaged person in some way. I don't know. I don't have my act all together. What can God do with my life? Aren't you glad that you have the testimonies of the disciples in the Gospels? It's actually a remarkable thing when you read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John to know that Mark, very close to Peter, basically you're hearing Peter through Mark, and you're having the failures of Peter recorded for us. Very open. They didn't try to polish up their lives and make it look like they had their acts all together. Or John, even though he likes to point out things like, "I ran there faster at the resurrection," the disciple who the Lord loved, He describes Himself in those ways, but He's open. You see how they didn't get it so often. How they really had a lot that they were lacking, weren't they? In some way, you could describe the disciples as faintly burning wicks, bruised reeds. You could describe you and me like that too. Do you realize that if Christ said, "I'm gonna, let me go find someone who does have their act together," He would have passed by all of us? He's gentle. He brings forth justice through His church, and He shows incredible patience as He does so. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Justice again. You have justice three times in this little, we call it a servant song, from verse 1 through 4. Three times you have the word justice. This is the preeminent trait that's being emphasized from God the Father when He says, "Look at My Son." He's gonna bring forth justice. He will, verse 4, not grow faint or be discouraged. He's not like us. We grow faint. We are discouraged. In fact, you can't quite see it in the English, but there's a parallel here. A bruised reed He will not break. A faintly burning wick He will not quench. He will not grow faint. Do you hear that? Faintly burning wick? He will not grow faint. And, or be discouraged, which some of you might even have a footnote that says, or be bruised. In other words, He's gentle with those who are bruised, faint. He's not faint. He's not bruised. He perseveres. He stands in contrast to us who so often feel like we just say, "I can't. I can't keep going. I can't endure." Every great work, church family, every great work takes endurance. Every great work tests our perseverance. Christ always passes that test. That's a challenge for us as we seek to serve Him. This is the perfect servant. He never grows faint. He's never discouraged. He will establish till He has established justice on earth, and the coastlands wait for His law. That's our first section. Behold Him. Behold His character. This is who this one is. And now, let's hear not a voice announcing above the manger, behold Him. But now a voice from heaven as if speaking to the manger. This is spoken to the servant, to Jesus. This is God the Father. This is one of those passages that give us insight into the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Here you have it. Verse 5. Thus says God, the Lord. God is the strong, powerful God. The Lord means Yahweh, the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens. He stretched them out. Who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. And I'm just imagining, and I know the manger's not here, I'm imagining this, but this is eternally true, and it's eternally true in that moment as well. Here, with the little one who has miraculously been conceived and come forth, is clearly the power of the Creator, as we saw last week with the sign given of a child born to a virgin. Here, this is the Creator God who's saying this. I, the Lord, who created the world, filled it, spread it out, and who gives breath of life, spirit to those who walk in it. That's backing up what He's about to say. And He starts off this way. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? It means I am. I am, I am. That's what He says right here. I am, I am. I have called you in righteousness. What's the significance? Yahweh, I am that I am. He's that sovereign one. He's the one over it all, the one who made it all. He doesn't have to explain Himself. He's eternally sufficient in Himself. He's the one without a cause. He's the one who causes everything good. I am, I am. But He's also the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God who sends a deliverer and delivers His people. And He announces, I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. And He is in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. One of those glimpses into the relationship. Can you imagine the voice of the Father saying to the Son, I will take you. The Son in humanity stepped in. I will take you by the hand. I'll keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people. The Father says to the Son, the servant, this is, when you hear the servant, you got to think, perfect humanity. It's emphasizing the humanity of Jesus to call Him here servant. Some people might say, servant, I'm confused because I look at this other verse and somewhere else it seems like the servant is Israel. Jesus is faithful Israel. If I ask you, was Israel faithful to obey? If you're thinking about Jesus, the answer is yes. Jesus is faithful Israel, true Israel. So much so that the New Testament authors are right when they say, oh, this Jesus growing up in Egypt and then coming out, that fulfills a prophecy. And you look back at the prophecy and it's speaking of Israel. Out of Egypt I called my son. Jesus is faithful Israel, His faithful servant. Here He is. He says, I will give you as a covenant for the people. And Jesus is given as a covenant. Hear the power of the way it's spoken. He didn't say here in this passage, I will give you to make a covenant. He said, I will give you as a covenant. Brother, sister, Jesus is your relationship with God. He is your covenant given for you. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, remember that His flesh given for us is the bread of life, and that His blood poured out is the blood of the new covenant. He has been given as a covenant for you. I will give you as a covenant for the people and as a light, and He is your light. And yes, with that, He opens the eyes of the blind. Now, somebody might say, well, here I'm looking at this and it says servant. Way back at the beginning of Isaiah, we have like Isaiah 9, there's a passage that says, you know, this child who's going to be born, who is Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace on the throne of David. The child of the king, he's going to be a great light for those who walk in darkness. Are these the same person? It's easy for you right now to look back because you live after the Gospels, and it's easy to look back at Isaiah and see, oh yeah, of course, the servant, this is Jesus, the son given, you know, there in Isaiah 9, a son given for us, a child born to us, that one's Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. But I want you to see, even back then, without that insight forward, there's all the clues that connect these two together. In Isaiah, there's different strands of promise that converge on Jesus. And some of them, you may have not thought about this before, very hard to see how they could be the same person. Let me go back to Isaiah 9. And the increase of His government shall be no end. Here's one who's on the throne forever. Okay, now we're going to go to the servant passage that the Hagans just read for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquity. His grave was assigned. Grave? No end? Surely this victorious, this one, Isaiah 9 talks about a victorious one who's going to be all, you know, bring forth peace, and this peace shall never end. And over here we're talking about one who's crushed, who's wounded, who's suffering, and by His wounds we are healed. How is that the same person? How could it be? But even in that passage, you read phrases like, and God shall prolong His days. How do you prolong your days and have a grave? That doesn't seem to go together. Is the servant of Isaiah 42, who's bringing forth justice, is He the king on the throne of David? Yes, you can see they all converge on Jesus. It's glorious and it's beautiful. So many different themes. And so if we stick in our mind with only one of those, if we say, I'm not going to think about Jesus as the servant, I'm only going to think about Jesus as the son. Why? God gave you multiple things to think about and how they go together in Jesus Christ. I don't want to think about Jesus as the one who suffers for me. This is more like my personality. I want to think about the conqueror and somebody else who maybe is going through tremendous suffering or has a great sense of grief over their own sin might say, I want to think about Him as a sacrifice. Well, guess what? The whole gospel is for all of us. Claim it all. It all wraps together. Behold Him. Listen. I am the Lord. I've called you. God speaking to Jesus. I've called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand, keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. He's talking to Jesus, but He's talking about us. From the prison, those who sit in darkness, I will give you as a covenant. I will give you as a light. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Hear that? The glory he's talking about is the glory of salvation. The glory of taking people and giving Jesus for them and saving them. And you could just hear that as a backdrop to that announcement. You shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Or Jesus there in John 17, right before he goes to the cross, saying, Father, glorify your Son. And he's talking about the glory that he had with him. And Jesus elsewhere says, glorify your name. As he goes to the cross and saves us, he does so for the glory of God. Every testimony is a testimony of the glory of God. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. He's telling ahead of time what he's going to do. What should we do? Church family, what shall we do? Here you go. We have beheld. We're to behold, listen in as the Father speaks to his Son, and here's the response. You don't have to think, how should I respond to God's word today? What should my response be? Here's your response. Sing! Sing! Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth. Sing! Sing to Yahweh. Let your beholding, your adoring, your admiring, your affection for who Jesus is, let it come out. The world around us would say, oh, what people, what you need to do is express yourself. That's the modern American mantra. Express yourself. I'm like, I just say mantra in a Christian sermon. I did. Express yourself. Well, is that okay? Express yourself? If you're just thinking, I'm going to express my own thoughts. How about acknowledging him, looking at him, seeing the wonder of who he is, and letting that come out, that sense of express yourself? Yes! Yes, please do. If somebody says, but Pastor Todd, I'm not good at singing. Okay, avoid a microphone. But sing! Sing! It's not like, okay, now listen, this Bible verse here, I know I just talked about the glory of the Lord, and I've talked about all that God is, this is the Father, I'm saying I, this is the Father talking about his Son Jesus, and then he's talking to his Son Jesus, and the response is really meant to be, sing all of you who are good at singing. Of course not. Sing! If it sounds bad, sing! All right? Sing out. But you say, but I'm not comfortable. Yeah, but the topic isn't, are you uncomfortable? The topic is he worthy? Is there worth in Jesus? Sing! It doesn't have to be loud. Oh, but yes, it does. I think there's verses that say, make a loud noise. Sing! Sing out. But notice something else. It says, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise. It's not just your praise for him. It's his praise. It belongs to him. When I prayed just before the ends of the earth offering today, I prayed a prayer. I pray it often. That's not mine. I've stolen it. I've stolen it from people in missions history way back. Amazing movement that I won't go into today. But the prayer that they prayed is, may the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. What is the reward of his sufferings? Believers? Yes. And praise. And praise. John Piper's right when he says missions exist because worship doesn't. Because his praise isn't being sung there. Because they don't know the glories of his salvation there. So let's share the message, and the people with the joy of salvation will sing forth his praise. And from here, in this room, let all of us give him praise. his praise because he's worthy. When I say there, where? Pastor Todd, you said there, when the people there, where? Okay, let's look at the passage in front of us. You who go down to the sea. Okay, so down by the sea, the coastlands or the islands and their inhabitants. Oh, the desert and its cities, the villages. Oh, and somewhere else, let them shout from the top of the mountains. I met with a gentleman yesterday, and we were talking about the part of the world that he's from, and a certain Christmas service there, and they had trumpets from the mountains, just, you know, heralding the announcement, or Easter sunrise, maybe that's what you would think of, just like, boom, like, let there be an announcement. There's the bells here in this building. I heard when the building was first done, people in the neighborhood, wherever, like, we can hear it from over here. Good! If we could turn up the volume more, we would. We would want everybody in Danville to hear. And how much better to hear the good news of Jesus Christ heralded out. You know, people think about evangelism and they think about praise, and actually those aren't that far apart in the scripture. What is evangelism? It's praising out loud the goodness of who God is. It's speaking aloud in words who he is and what he's done. Where? Everywhere, the mountains, the desert, the seas, the islands, everywhere, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the whole horizon to horizon, let his praise be sung out because of who Jesus is and because of what he's done. Who? Who should sing it? Everyone. Everyone. The people who know his praises, obviously, we can sing out his praises. And what about those who don't yet? What about the people who don't yet know all that's praiseworthy about Jesus? Church family and Christians across the world, let's work together to fix that. Let's work together to fix that. But for us, sing. Sing in response to his good news. Sing because of who this child is, the man that he is for us, the servant of God and the Savior that he has, the one who brings forth justice, justice that you will enjoy forever. And as you sing, look forward to being able to sing with a great crowd from every tongue and tribe and nation, knowing that he will bring it forth. And we will all celebrate Christmas and Easter forever. The singing will never stop. I often say, every time we hear God's word, our call is to respond. I'm not going to say that you have to sing louder today, but let's sing in response. I'm going to pray, and then we'll sing. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you for Christmas, for a joy of a Savior who has been given for us a covenant to make us have a relationship with you, to make it possible. Thank you, God, for a light in Jesus, giving light to our lives that conquers darkness, for rescuing us from prison, from sitting in darkness into joy and joy of salvation. We thank you, God, that in Christ we have a leader who is faithful, who perseveres, who doesn't give up, who is strong, and who is gentle, and who is patient, and who is good, called forth in righteousness. Help us, Lord, to love and see his character all the more. Help us, Lord, to sing praise in response to who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name we pray.